And now I'll ask you to stand one more time for the reading of God's word. And the sermon text for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Again, Mark 8, verses 1 through 9, reading in Jesus' name. In those days, when a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these many people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words to us today. And we thank you that you feed us. You feed us with our daily bread, and also you feed us with your word as you are doing right now. So, Lord, we pray that you would nourish us with your word and open our hearts and minds to receive all the goodness that your word has in store for us. So bless this time of contemplation on your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Oh, how quickly we forget. A man entered a psychiatrist's office with a serious problem. "Doc," he said, I just can't remember a thing from 1 minute to the next." "How long have you had this problem?" asked the psychiatrist. "Well," puzzled, the man said, "how long have I had what problem?" Oh, how quickly we forget. Now, memory loss is not something to be taken lightly or to laugh at. It is a serious mental condition. In fact, it can also be a physical condition as well. Due to various causes, you might see memory loss being caused by a head injury or a traumatic event, or even just aging in general. We may think of dementia or Alzheimer's as diseases that cause memory loss. Now, memory loss is an unfortunate mental and physical condition, just part of being human, right? But I would add that in addition to physical and mental memory loss, there is also this thing called spiritual memory loss. Nothing is physically or even mentally wrong with a person, and yet they have forgotten what's most important. In Plymouth, Massachusetts, there is a monument that probably not many of you have heard of. It is called the National Monument to the Forefathers. And if you were to take a trip to Plymouth, Massachusetts, you would see this colossal statue, this colossal monument, which was dedicated in 1889 as a memorial to the Lord's blessings, which contributed greatly in the founding of the United States of America. But this memorial has all been forgotten by our nation. So why has it been forgotten? Why are some of you hearing about the National Monument to the Forefathers for the first time today? Because of what it stands for. The main focus of the monument is a large statue of a woman. Her right hand is pointing up towards heaven, and in her left hand she holds a Bible. Below her are seated 4 smaller figures carved out of solid granite. So she's standing on top of them. But they represent morality, law, education, and liberty. And below each of them are 2 smaller figures each carved into their pedestals. And so below the figure of morality are prophet and evangelist. Below law are justice and mercy. Below education are youth and wisdom. And under liberty are tyranny overthrown and peace. So a lot going on in this monument. And then on the front panel of the monument reads this inscription: National Monument to the Forefathers, erected by a grateful people in remembrance of their labors, sacrifices, and sufferings for the cause of civil liberty and religious freedom. And on the back of the panel is this quote from Governor William Bradford: Thus, out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by his hand that made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light 1,000, so the light here kindled hath shone unto many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise. The National Monument to the Forefathers was erected as a tribute and memorial to all that God had done in founding our nation. The monument gives all credit where credit is due, to God himself, to Jehovah. Yet hardly anyone has heard about this monument. I hadn't heard of it until a few years ago when I stumbled upon it on a documentary by Kirk Cameron called Monumental. Now, the main point of the documentary is that the United States has forgotten its true heritage as a nation founded upon Christian principles. It's founded by God himself. The United States has forgotten and has instead embraced other things. They've turned their back on God. And when you consider the grand scheme of things and the entire scope of world history, 1776 wasn't that long ago. At 241 years old this year, America is still a kid compared to some of the empires and nations of the world. Yet, how quickly we have forgotten. In our sermon text for today, the disciples also quickly had forgotten something. As I was reading, some of you may have been confused as far as the numbers were concerned, the number of people Jesus fed. Didn't he feed 5,000 people? Weren't there 5 loaves and 2 fish? Well, yes, there were. But that was a previous incident. It occurs 2 chapters back in Mark 6, starting in verse 30. In fact, Jesus' miraculous feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in all 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is a very popular story in Scripture, and it's very important as well. But the less popular feeding of the 4,000 is recorded in only 2 of the gospel accounts, here in Mark 8 and also in Matthew 15, starting in verse 32. And it may seem logical just to skip over this one since it's so similar to the feeding of the 5,000. But if we did that, we would miss out on a very important lesson from God's word. So let's backtrack a bit. In the life of Jesus, after he feeds the 5,000, he continues on his ministry journey of preaching and healing. And he goes far north into the region of northern Galilee and all the way into Gentile, non-Jewish territory, the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he ministers there too. He heals a Canaanite woman's daughter, a Gentile woman's daughter, non-Jew. And so then, after he does some ministry up north, he comes back into the region of Galilee, back to Jewish region. So as our text in Mark 8 opens up, Jesus and his disciples have just returned from the north. And as we see in verse 1 of our text, Jesus has again amassed a great following, due in no small part to his healing and teaching ministry. Well, at this point, Jesus addresses his concern for the people. They have been with him already 3 days, it says, hearing his teaching and just soaking in all the goodness that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the crowd is still human, and they need physical nourishment. After going 3 days without food, the people are starving, and there's nothing to eat. In our culture, we often take food for granted, don't we? We may say we're starving after a long day at work. Or maybe we miss lunch on a particular day and we get home. We're famished and ready for supper. but our starvation, our hunger is quickly satisfied by all the goodness that we have in the fridge. Very few of us, I would gather, know what it is truly like to be hungry, to be starving, to have absolutely no food available. Well, the people in our passage did. They knew what true hunger, true starvation felt like. And Jesus sees this and calls his disciples together, and he says, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." So Jesus has compassion on the starving people, and he wants to remedy the situation. And the response of the disciples is the reason why this incident is included in the gospel accounts. How do the disciples respond? Well, remember, just a little while before, not more than a few months before this, they had witnessed and experienced what Jesus was capable of when he fed the 5,000. They should know what's about to happen in this case with the 4,000. But how do they respond? How can one feed these people with bread out here in this desolate place? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, disciples? How could they have forgotten about the feeding of the 5,000? Not only that, but how could they have forgotten about the other miracles Jesus has performed as well? Why should this situation be any different than the ones before? Oh, how quickly we forget. The disciples were so quick to forget all that Jesus had done and all that he was capable of doing. And we might think, and we might be quick to laugh and call them idiots for being so dull. But seriously, are we any different than the disciples were that day? Would we have responded any differently in their situation? You see, this was a serious situation. We only have a few words on the page, and they paint the picture of what was going on. But they don't give us all the details. But what we do know is this. The people were starving. They were far from home. There was a little bit of food, but not enough for even 40 people, not to mention 4,000. It was a logistical nightmare. And the disciples were feeling it. No doubt, they too were just as hungry as the crowd. Hunger can easily cause us to get stuck in the moment and forget what's happened before. This is true of any pain or discomfort, any trial and tribulation. When the going gets tough, we doubt the God who can provide for us. When the going gets tough, we doubt the God who can fill us. We, like the disciples, should know better, of course. But pain and other bad circumstances have a way of giving us spiritual amnesia. Does this sound familiar to any of you? Well, in the heat of the moment, our present predicament becomes the most extreme predicament in all human history, right? Oftentimes it does. God may have come through in the past, in those previous situations, but this is different. It's happening to me right now. This is different. And so we, like the disciples, think, how can one feed these people with bread out here in this desolate place? Oh, how quickly we forget. It was the same for the people of Israel after God himself had delivered them from slavery in Egypt. You remember the story? It comes from Exodus 16. I'll read verses 2 and 3. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Oh, how quickly we forget. The Lord comes through for us time and time again. But in the heat of the moment, when the going gets tough, it is so easy for us to forget the God who can and will provide for us. When we are hungry, it is so easy to doubt the God who can fill us. In the text, how does Jesus respond to the disciples' doubt? As I look through the passage, I'm having trouble finding the place where he scolds them for their unbelief. Where is it? It doesn't happen. Jesus doesn't rebuke them for being so quick to forget what he's capable of. Instead, out of his great compassion for the people and for his disciples as well, he simply carries out the plan that he had in mind all along. From the 7 loaves of bread and the few fish that the disciples have, Jesus miraculously feeds the crowd of 4,000. And as with the previous feeding of the 5,000, there is no extravagant outward performance on Jesus' part. He simply gives thanks, blesses the bread and the fish, and it just happens. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. So as with the feeding of the 5,000, there are many, many, many leftovers, showing us what Jesus is capable of and beyond. Despite everything, despite great hunger, despite lack of resources, and even despite faithlessness, forgetfulness, and doubt, Jesus still fed the people. Simply out of his compassion, out of his love for them. This great compassion of Jesus extends to all of us as well. Despite our impossible needs, remember those, the ones that are in the heat of the moment that God probably won't help us with because it's happening to us in the present moment? Well, despite all of that, despite our own forgetfulness and doubt and unbelief, Jesus is still the God who fills us. He does and will continue to provide for our every need simply because he loves us. He has great compassion on us. He doesn't want to send us away hungry. He doesn't want us to go through life fainting. Jesus is the God who fills us. He fills us in 2 ways, as Jesus demonstrates in the passage for today. So first, he fills us physically. This is probably what most of us have in mind when we think about being filled. After all, that's what the miracle was all about. Jesus feeds us. He gives us food to eat. He gives us this day our daily bread, as we prayed earlier in the Lord's Prayer. As he provided for the 4,000, and as God provided manna and quail for the grumbling people in the wilderness, so he too provides for our physical needs. And it's not just food, but everything that is required to satisfy our bodily needs. As Jesus said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus is the God who fills us, and he does so quite literally, meeting all of our physical needs, simply because we are his, and he loves us so much. And then the second way that Jesus fills us is that he fills us spiritually. Remember how the disciples initially doubted what Jesus was capable of, or at least they forgot about the feeding of the 5,000 earlier? No problem for Jesus, for he had compassion on the disciples as well as the crowd, and he wanted to fill them with something even better than food. He wanted to fill them with faith, with trust in him. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus explained in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That's the true filling that we need as human beings. Despite our doubt, despite our forgetfulness, despite stumbling back into sin, maybe even over and over again, God still wants us as His. He still wants to fill us with all good things, including faith, trust, salvation, righteousness. As Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." In other words, filled. Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, is truly the God who fills us. Are you hungry today? Are you hungry right now? Look to the God who can and does fill you with every good thing. The 4,000 people ate of the bread and the fish and were satisfied physically. Will He not also do the same for you? If He takes care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, rest assured that He will take even more care of you. Jesus is the God who fills you. Are you facing any pains of life, any trials, tribulations? Do things seem worse than they've ever been for you? Have you forgotten the times when God has come through for you in the past? Did you forget that Jesus died on the cross even for you and for your sins? Do you doubt what He is capable of even now? Don't lose heart, my friends. If you have forgotten, it's okay. Allow me to refresh your memory about God's abundant compassion and love for you. It's as simple as that. He loves you. In the feeding of the 4,000, the disciples ate of the compassion of their master, Jesus, the bread of life, and they were satisfied, more than just physically, but spiritually, possessing a new and refreshed faith and trust in their Lord and Savior and Master, Jesus Christ. Will He not also do the same and even more for all of you? Trust this day in the God who is able to satisfy you with every good thing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for these words. Thank You for filling us, not only with our daily bread, but we are very grateful for our daily bread and everything we need to live this life, but also, even more so, thank You for filling us with that faith through Your compassion and love for us. And Lord, help us to remember. When we forget, refresh our memories through Your word about Your great love for us. Help us to remember those times in Scripture when You came through for those in need. And help us to remember the times in our lives when You have come through for us as well. Lord, help us to count our blessings, to know that You will provide for us as You have in the past, and You will provide for us forever. Prepare us for that eternal life when we will be fully satisfied and filled. In Jesus' name, amen.